When confronted with imperious conceit, fighting the good fight is not only the right thing to do, it can be a heck of a lot of fun. And who has more fun than us?
Who has more fun than us? And then he's just got this kind of goofy smile on his face. You know, Jack Edwards, this is just in the interest of disclosure, right? And everyone knows Jack Edwards. I mean, it's ridiculous what a homer he is. But I don't know how common this is. Jack Edwards got a Stanley Cup ring when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I don't think that normally happens.
No, I don't think so.
If the Habs win a cup, does Pierre Hood get a ring?
No.
There's something a little weird about that. And I think it tells you a lot. It tells you a lot about the media culture in Boston.
Jack Edwards, brought to you by Norfolk Power Equipment and 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. I had the opportunity to see Dave O'Brien's Red Sox World Series ring when he got it on opening day.
It tells you about the culture, the media culture in Boston,
beautiful
doesn't
ring.
It?
Hello, Jack. How
What's
are
up,
you?
Jack, what say you?
You know, that little bit of brilliance from TSN radio is some of the greatest incomplete reasoning I've heard since junior high school. I'll tell you what, I hope that guy has a real good time in his third try at seventh grade next fall.
Break it down, you know, Jack.
The other funny thing is that since TSN is a rights holder to the National Hockey League, it has access to the NHL media guide. And my cell phone number is in that media guide. I'm going to give you guys a guess as to how many emails, messages, or phone calls I got from TSN to discuss that issue before they decided to try to beat on my character. How many do you think?
I'm going to go with zero.
You're right, Michael. Absolutely right.
I get to move on to the eighth grade now, unlike those guys. Thank you. But no, it's not unusual for a media guy somebody who is covering the team. It's not unusual for that guy to get a ring when the team wins, is it?
Look, you know, here's the thing. I was so thrilled that when producer Brian Zuccello told me we were actually covering the New England region tournament for the Little League World Series in August of 2011, he told me that we were actually going to be offered rings by the Jacobs family. It was a personal gift from the Jacobs family to not just me, but actually everyone who worked for NESN in 2011. I mean, we're talking about dozens and dozens of rings. Sean McGrail, who's the CEO of NESN, had a ceremony in the cafeteria where he gave away these stacks of boxed rings to people, and it was emotional, it was tremendous, it was exciting. And it was a gift from the Jacobs family, and I cherish it. It is an incredible memento of inclusion, and it means so much to me on so many different levels. And I'll tell you what, the best part of having that championship ring is that when I'm in a secure area and a fan comes up and, you know, for whatever deluded reason wants to have his or her picture taken with me, I hundreds of times have taken it off my finger and put it on that fan's finger, and the looks on their faces say it all. It's the greatest thing in the world to be able to share, and it is the sharing generosity of the Jacobs family that enables me to do that, and I will be forever grateful for that.
And I have news for the guys at TSN. I wasn't joking. I did get the opportunity to see Dave O'Brien's Red Sox World Series ring. Pretty commonplace. Gil Santos has three Super Bowl rings. Mike Gorman has, you know, Celtics championship rings. Sean Grandy has Celtics championship rings.
Well, it's commonplace when you work for the organization. I think it's very unusual in Jack's case when you actually work for NESN.
No, Dave O'Brien doesn't work for the Red Sox. Gil Santos didn't work for the Patriots.
Yeah,
Mike Gorman doesn't work for the Celtics.
I mean, I know that...
Actually, my contract is with NESN, and the Red Sox own 80% of NESN. Yes, the Bruins own 20% of NESN. But, you know, and I'm sure if the Bruins wanted me off the air, they could take me off the air. But, you know, to me, you know, I'm totally open to the debate there. You know,
no, I think it's a great tribute to you, Jack. I think, you know, because like I said, I worked for the Dodgers and Fox last year. Had the Dodgers won a World Series, I would have expected a ring, knowing that I worked for the Dodger organization. If I only worked for Fox, I would not have expected a ring at all. I think it's a great tribute to who you are and what you've meant to the organization, even outside, technically working for Nesson and not the Bruins. That's a great thing to have happen.
You know, Jack, all this talk about rings, Psycho, what he's not telling you is that he's scared. He thinks the series is over and that Montreal is going to sweep
after
last night. What was your take on last night? Encouraging for the Bruins, discouraging? I mean, I'm talking about big picture. I know the result was a loss, but big picture, what did you see?
Yeah, I hope you save enough time for me for the bigger big picture today, because I've been listening to the show and I got a lot to say here. But as far as the hockey game is concerned, it was a great hockey game. You know, Montreal played a tremendous first game on the road, game of a series. Clearly, the Canadiens did not have their A++ game. They looked a little rusty at times. Their timing wasn't right, as Michel Therrien referred to in his post-game press conference. I don't have a problem with either of the last two penalties. I thought that Weiss exaggerated a little bit on the tripping call early, but you know what? You live with that. It was the referees were not the difference in the game. The difference in the game was Carey Price was flipping awesome. I mean, he made some absolutely sick saves, and let's not talk about puck luck because that's part of it. You know, he put himself in position to make enough saves, and he made enough saves just on merit that he was easily, for me, the first star of the game. Subban is a weapon. He's been a weapon for a long time. If you remember the reason that Nathan Horton was such a hero in overtime in Game 7 in 2011, it was only in overtime because Subban had scored on a laser beam one-timer. I mean, this guy's got world-class talent. The question always has been with him if he can only harness that talent and keep from doing silly things on the ice, and he's gotten a lot better at that in the last couple of years, which sort of brings us to the bigger big picture, right? And, you know, I heard you earlier, Michael, talking about, you know, what do you do, and Dale and Steve, and I know you're all on the same page with this, you know, what do you do when you get somebody who's full of hatred and has only 25 followers and throw something like that out there? And, you know, my answer to that is no matter how small, never turn your back on bad behavior because it will not correct itself. And we got to face it. There are people who feel that they've found safe haven within the combined context of anonymous social media and a beloved hockey team in a town that unfortunately has a history of racial tension. And those people have exploited an opportunity to express their hatred. And, you know, were all these people from Boston? Absolutely not. All from New England? No. But the Bruins are a team that now has truly an international following. It's not limited to having fans that reside in its home city or its home region. And one of the problems of that kind of popularity is that within the mass, there are cracks in the woodwork where hooligans find space to operate. And the better the team fares, the more the following grows, the more the hooligan element can attempt to exist as hard to remove. You know, these people are as hard to remove as taking salt out of a sea. And all we can do is reject unequivocally the hatred that is abhorrent, unacceptable, and has connection neither to the spirit nor the actions of the Bruins. And, you know, the last time this scum slick appeared on the surface was in the minutes after another playoff overtime goal was scored by a black player, Joel Ward, of the Washington Caps in 2012. It ended the Bruins' reign as Stanley Cup champions, and as we pointed out on this program, you'll remember this, Michael.
I do.
Back
yep.
then, the next official act of the Bruins following the end of that 2012 season was one of those delicious moments that only happens in sport, because the next official act of the Boston Bruins was the team making its first round selection at the entry draft, and the team selected Malcolm Subban. Not because he was black, but because he was a brilliant talent who unexpectedly was available at number 24 overall. And, you know, I can tell you, as someone who has a lot of first-person contact with people who follow the Boston Bruins, and I am speaking not as a spokesman for the team, but completely as an individual here, my feeling is this. Anyone expressing those feelings is not a Bruins fan and not a hockey fan. And whoever does that has a significant problem. I will condemn them, I will forget them, and I will move on. And that's all I can do as an individual.
If the Bruins were to be able to put together an effort tomorrow like what you saw last night, would you like their chances to win again?
Yeah, absolutely. If the Bruins play this way seven times, and I do think it's going to take seven times, I think they're going to win four. And this is going to be an unbelievable series. These two teams are the best two teams in hockey over the last month, month and a half. You know, I think Montreal went something like 15-3-1 down the stretch, and then they swept Tampa Bay in the first round. You know, the Bruins had a pretty similar record. I think they only lost four in regulation, and that includes mailing one in when they had seven AHL players playing for them so they could rest guys. These are two really, really excellent teams. They don't like each other, but it's a good kind of, you know, hockey hate, if you will. And I look for another six of these. It's going to test our hearts, and it's wonderful. This is the very reason that I whine about the NHL schedule matrix, because every time the Bruins play the Canadiens, because of the playoff history, it makes those regular season meetings something that is truly phenomenal and something that grows the hockey base. You know, all those extra added games between San Jose and Florida and between Carolina and Phoenix because of the balancing of the schedule completely work counter to that. You're going to get way more fans by having the Bruins meet Montreal six times a season as a division rival than you are by spreading the schedule out so that everybody plays in everybody else's building at least once a year.
Of course, we're talking to the great Jack Edwards of Nesson. And, Jack, the big question today has been this. Why does Tuukka Rask have trouble against Montreal? Is it just a coincidence? Is it something that Montreal is doing that Tuukka is having a hard time picking up? What's your guess?
All right. Excellent question. Excellent subject, because this speaks to the bigger picture. And it's not to say that Tim Thomas didn't deserve his two Vezina Trophy awards, but the Bruins have led the NHL in save percentage for four of the last 6 years. And one of those other years, they finished second. The reasons for that are not just that they've had great goalies, which they have had. The reason is also because they have a system that protects the house, and they have the greatest shutdown defenseman of this age in Zdeno Chara, who's playing about half the game. The Montreal Canadiens, as Brick pointed out so expertly pregame and postgame last night in our coverage, is that the Canadiens will just toss the puck in front of the goal and beat the Bruins in that three steps of quickness rather than speed. The Bruins' team speed matches Montreal. Their quickness is not a match for Montreal, because Montreal has those smaller, super quick forwards who can dart into the seams. Think about it last night. About a half a dozen times, and one time resulted in a goal, the Canadiens just threw the puck at the net and then just tried to get underneath the Bruins defenseman, and Boston was chasing the puck around. You go back and you look at so many of the goals scored against Tuukka Rask by the Montreal Canadiens, so many of them have been from those kinds of situations. That's the matchup, the part of the matchup that the Canadiens are going to try to exploit. This is not a Tuukka Rask problem. This is a personnel and matchup problem. And the Bruins certainly are going to try to compensate for that. And I have very few doubts that they will compensate for that, and that this will be an absolutely heart-stopping long series. But don't globalize off of a statistical pattern that says that Tuukka Rask can't beat the Canadiens, because he most certainly can beat the Montreal Canadiens.
Jack Edwards will be part of the pregame show on Nesson, not Nesson Plus, on Nesson tomorrow, beginning at 11:30, with Andy Brickley, Jamie Erdahl, Jameson Coyle, Barry Peterson, myself. We'll all be there at 11:30 tomorrow. 60
breaking minutes, out the big guns, huh?
60 minutes of pregame. We'll be on the air the minute the game ends with at least 60 minutes of postgame coverage. Jack, I'll see you at the rink.
Dale, thanks so much for letting me vent. It's so much nicer to be able to fill out my views rather than express them in 140 characters or less.
Talk right, to you tomorrow.
Jack. Okay, see ya.
Jack Edwards, brought to you by Norfolk Power Equipment and 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. He had stuff he wanted to say, and We let him have good a chance.
Hey, I was going to say, he said it poetically, said it very well. It was perfect.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The AT&T text line is 37937. It's Dale and Holly and Steve Lyons here on Sports Radio WEEI.